Okay. Today we're going to be talking about some our listening. I guess you'll be doing most listening as I talk about sowing seeds. And this time of the year, I always think about planting a garden because my dad, when I was growing up, always farmed our backyard. He really wanted to be a farmer, and quite a few of the people in his family were farmers, but my dad was kind of off on the side of the family tree, and his parents didn't own land or have a farm. So I always wondered why, in every place we lived, and we moved quite a bit, the garden got bigger and bigger, and then I eventually figured out it was because he was looking at it like a farm. And my sister and I like farm workers. So, you know, but I always enjoyed it. I loved the, you know, the laying out the rows with the string and sticks and the hoeing, putting the seeds in, and then you put the seed packet on the end so you know what you planted because otherwise you'd have no idea. And then that was the fun part. And then came the other part, which was hoeing and pulling up weeds and watering and harvesting and canning and freezing, which took up a lot of the summer. So I've kind of forgotten that part, which wasn't quite as much enjoyable, but what I really remember was that pristine land that had been rototilled, and it was all ready, and you got to mark out, and part of the fun of it was I got to decide where to plant everything, since I was the one doing the planting. And so when it came up, it always seemed like such a miracle. And I was reminded of that just a couple weeks ago because my other jobs, I work at the botanical garden part-time as a cashier in the gift shop. And the second part of the botanical garden in Santa Fe, if you haven't been there, is an area that's set up with native plants, and it teaches about how they've been used. And then they plant crops in there for the children. So about 3 weeks ago, they went out when it was safe to plant, and they planted corn, and they planted squash, and beans, and tomatoes, and melons. And of course, there are some herbs already out there. And now when you walk out there, they're about that high. And it just seems like such a miracle, of creation. You know, and children, usually most children love rooting around in the dirt and getting very dirty. And we adults do it if we have a purpose in mind, but generally speaking, we don't love getting dirty. So something happens when we grow up that we kind of let go of that joy of nature and of watching things grow. And I remember planting gardens with my little kids, and they would go out and check the garden several times a day after they planted it, and nothing was there. Remember that? It takes a long time. Sometimes it takes a long time for God to create and to bear fruit. And then one day they would go out and there would be little green shoots coming up through the earth. And it was always the radishes that came up first. And then the other plants, and the carrots had little feathery tops. You could hardly see them against the soil until they got bigger. And then after that, every day was a joy for the kids because everything grew a little bit every day. In a way, I always thought when I was a child that it was a miracle. And I guess in a way, it probably is a sort of a miracle that there could be life tucked tightly inside a little seed, even just as small as a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? That it's just almost like dust. They're just so tiny. But all that life is packed inside. And Jesus told his followers that the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come. Well, this parable at its heart is about the mysterious life that is at the heart of all growth. Wonderful, delightful things come from tiny, ordinary beginnings. And if you've ever had the joy of being a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those first few days when you have the infant in your arms and how joyous and exciting that is. And then every day you get to watch them grow and change until they become fully functioning adults and almost your equals. And then the older we get, they almost seem to take on the parenting for their older parents. And it's kind of a cycle of life. I know if I need any advice, I always call my son, who is now 41 or 42. I lose track. But he's kind of my touchstone, and he's now giving me advice when I used to be the one that gave him advice. And that's part about God, of God's plan for growth and for creation. And you've probably heard this before. Black mustard is a common plant that grows all over the Middle East. Has anyone ever been to the Middle East to see it? I haven't, but I've seen pictures of it. And when I look at those pictures, I think of chamisa, you know, which in our part of the world is that kind of a rat. It's also called rabbit brush, which seems to grow everywhere you look, but very rarely does anyone plant it, right? You don't need to plant it. It's there. It somehow, it just comes up. Well, I think black mustard is kind of the equivalent of that, although it probably gets to be a bigger plant than chamisa usually does. You know, but it was forbidden by rabbinical law to plant black mustard in your garden because the plant grew rapidly and would take over everything else in the garden. So the shocking thing to the people who heard about this parable was that someone actually planted a mustard seed in his garden and watered it and tended it just as they would have all the other vegetable plants. So when we read these parables today, we don't always get the little shock that's built into them that was there for the ancient hearers. So Jesus used the mature mustard tree, which was a large shrub that I looked it up. They say it can be as large as 15 feet high. So that's like a dwarf fruit tree, really, really big, as an example of the nature of the kingdom of God. You know, it's curious that he didn't use a cedar of Lebanon as his example, because the cedar was so tall and beautiful. It was used to build the temple. You know, it was comparable to the redwood trees that we have in our Northwest. A majestic tree that provided shelter for birds way up high in its branches. Instead, he uses the mustard shrub that grows from a tiny little seed as his example of what the kingdom is like. So it wasn't a beautiful plant. It wasn't really large. It wasn't grand. It wasn't used for anything really useful to people. But this is what Jesus lifts up as an example of the kingdom of God. So, but really when you think about it, you shouldn't be too surprised, because Jesus himself appeared on this earth as a human baby born of Mary in a cave with the animals. And we know the story. His father was a carpenter. But with this humble beginning, God began to change the world in profound ways. So this really fits up in with this parable of the mustard seed. Father Thomas Keating, who's a Roman Catholic writer on Christian spirituality, and you've probably encountered him if you've studied much spirituality work, writes in an article on this parable that God's greatest works are not done on a grandiose level, not in cathedrals, big buildings, or large mausoleums. Cathedrals can become museums rather than sources of inspiration for the Christian community. The kingdom is in everyday life with its ups and downs, and above all, its insignificance. Such is where most people actually live their lives. The kingdom is thus readily accessible to everybody. How did Jesus put it? What is the kingdom of God like, and to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. Jesus is speaking to us of a mystery. The kingdom does not come because of the sweat of our brows or the labor of our hands. All those are needed, to be sure, and they're valuable. The kingdom begins to come because of the power of God, which is at work in hidden and unseen ways in the world in which we live. We scatter and plant the seeds. The mysterious power of God causes them to grow and to bear sometimes astonishing fruit, not the fruit that we expected. You know, while we sleep and go about our tasks, our usual daily tasks, God is at work all around us in our world. All that is required of us is that we trust in this astonishing creative power and wait for it to do its work and notice it when it happens. What a relief it is to understand that we do our part and God does the rest. As Paul says in his second letter to the Corinthians, we are always confident, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, as I was thinking about this in the car as I was driving here today, I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we looked back on our own lives and acknowledged the people who planted the seeds of what we have become? I know for every one of you, there's probably a whole group of people who in your life had scattered the seeds because you were one of them that they scattered. And this happens especially with teachers and other mentors that we run into. Sometimes it's a professional mentor. Sometimes it's someone in your family. But they took the time, they invested some time and effort and prayer and love in you. And they would be so joyful to know what had come out of that. And oftentimes, those people never get to see the fruits that come from the seeds that they planted, particularly teachers in your earlier years. So I would ask you over this week, you know, maybe it's a role model person in the church who you dearly love, maybe another church far away from here, or maybe this church. If you could just buy a special card or make a card yourself, if you still know where they are and you can find an address, why not write them a card and say, what you did for me or what you said to me, they've probably even forgotten that they did it, all those years ago has borne fruit in me. And this is how I have turned out. And these are the things that I have done. And I just wanted to say thank you to you for that. And that might be a really meaningful thing for you to do in your life. And then the other part of that is to think about the seeds that you yourself have planted and remember those. Because a lot of the Christian work that we do feels thankless, doesn't it? It feels sometimes like we're not accomplishing anything much at all, but it helps once in a while to stop and look back. And look back at the people that you have invested in, the people that you have helped, the people that you have cared about, the people that you've called when you knew they were upset, or sent a card when you knew they needed one, or the people who were sick that you have visited and brought with you your Christian love that comes from the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And that will give you some satisfaction, and believe me, that's the only pay that we get as Christians in this world, is the satisfaction of looking back on the difference that we have made. And most of us are pretty humble about our faith, and we don't think too much about the difference that we have made. But if we were gone, have we made a difference in other people's lives? There's some satisfaction that comes from that. And that shouldn't make you feel guilty. That should make you feel good. Because you have seen some fruit from the efforts that you have put in. You know, the hidden workings of God, as they bring the kingdom into our world, can be seen only through the eyes of faith. And once you fully trust in Christ, the signs are everywhere around us and within us as well. We walk by faith, not by sight. That is just the way it is in the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Gracious, life-living Lord, we thank you for the mysterious ways that your power is at work within us and within our faith community. Bless all children and young people and help them grow from their beginnings here with us into the marvelous people that you wish them to be. Let all the people say, Amen.